time for Thinking Real Estate with the one and only Laura Dwyer Schletke, the one and only Bill Schletke.
Yeah, I'm only here momentarily. I'm actually in the Judge Guthrie's waiting room on Zoom waiting for a case to be called, and after that I have to be in Judge McBain's Zoom courtroom. But, you know, I'm sure Judge Guthrie has a number of hearings going, so I might be here for the duration.
Tell McBain we said hey.
Okay. All right. You know him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait. Did you have a criminal case before him? Did he sentence you or anything, or what happened?
No, I've known him for years.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I supported him in his original campaign and have supported him ever since. I think he does a good job.
Yes, he does.
Of course, I feel that way about really almost all of the. I feel that way about almost all of the judges in Washington. Where the Washington Circuit Court has a really good set of judges.
Jackson.
Or Jackson. Yeah, right.
Hello.
Sorry about that.
Hello. Do you know where you are? Oh my God.
Oh man, I'll tell you what. Been busy. I'll say that things are just popping like crazy in the legal world.
So let's talk real estate, okay, while we have you.
All right. Well, first order of business is, last week I was telling you I was hoping that the e-notary law would go into effect, and the governor has actually signed it. So we can now do e-notarization and e-witnessing of legal documents. It goes through right now December 31. Hopefully it's extended even later than that. So keep that in mind. So if you're signing a deed, you're signing an affidavit, any other document that needs a notary, you no longer have to appear personally before a notary. It can be done through this process using a certain protocol for e-notarization. And I've come up with language for deeds and affidavits and other documents that has been accepted by the title companies and by the Register of Deeds using the e-notarization. So just that got adopted or got signed into law last week.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I kind of wanted to talk about the PPP money because I had a deal. I had the seller, not the buyer, but I had a deal fall apart because the buyer had gotten PPP money.
Yeah, and it showed up as credit.
I don't know how it shows up because it wasn't my buyer. There was a lender that I was talking to that's actually Craig Talbert. I'll give him credit for this. Craig Talbert, who's representing my sellers and purchasing another house. Anyhow, he was really knowledgeable about the PPP money and how it affects applying for a mortgage. And I was hoping I could get him on the radio show today, but he gracefully declined. I think he was busy or whatever. But so I just pulled up some information about it, and it says there's new documents required for self-employed. Borrowers, they're going to require an audited P&L statement and an unaudited P&L statement along with 2 months business account statement.
Why would they need an audited P&L statement? And paying for an audited statement by an accountant is expensive.
So wouldn't you be able to just get that from your tax returns?
Yeah, but they want to audit it. An audit, they're not willing to accept simply
so
what
like,
you say.
Okay.
They have to see the checks, the receipt. Oh, I'm going online with the court right now.
Oh, maybe we can hear Bill's case. Do you want me to go in the other room?
Yes.
Do you want me to wait until you know for sure?
I'm on. Good morning, Judge. Good morning, Judge.
Anyhow, so y'all got to hear Bill get online with the judge.
Oh, we missed it.
Yeah. Well, I had to go in the other room because I didn't want to interrupt his court case. But so it was pretty interesting. So the deal fell apart because of the PPP money, and they had to take, from what I understand, they had to take the amount would be to repay that as part of their debt-to-income ratio. So beware if you're an independent contractor applying for a mortgage and you've got PPP money, there's going to be some additional documentation that's going to be required. Let's see. What else you want to talk about, Greg?
Real estate.
Yeah. I had just printed this stuff about this PPP stuff, so I was glancing over it. It says that small businesses to spend 60% of their PPP funds on payroll. This is how they recently figured out what the money was used for. 40% of the money was used for utilities, rent, and mortgages. And it was spent within a 24-week time frame. But anyhow, the other thing I wanted to touch on was City of Jackson's rental inspection. They're in the process of coming to City Council with a proposal to move the inspection program from 2 years to 3 or 4, and it will be up to Council as to which one of those proposals gets adopted. And that's going to happen. They're bringing that to Council in, I think, the last meeting in November, they said.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be an interesting change in our system, and I'm finding that the third floor of the inspection department is looking to be more user-friendly and work with landlords as opposed to be so harsh on them, for lack of a better word. That might not be the right word, but it's the only word I can come up with right now.
And that's probably the way it should be.
Yeah, it should be. I'm doing a lot of reading on inspection programs throughout the country, mm-hmm. and a lot of them are moving from "do it our way or else" to "how can we help you?" And I see that happening in the city with the staff on the third floor. They're meeting with landlords to find out what their concerns are. How do they feel about a 3-year versus a 4-year? They're looking at, they're reanalyzing the rate, and it looks like the rate will be changed more favorably. There's just a lot of things that they're taking a look at. Some things will stay the same, but there will be some changes that we'll see coming out of that department. So that's that's good news out there for our landlords. And if landlords have any opinion as to what they'd like to see changed, they're more than welcome to contact me at my office, 780-3830, 517 area code, or email at Laura, L-A-U-R-A, at 780-3800.
That's really, really good news for everybody. Isn't it, Laura? Because I hate to see the city try to, or the city make money on the backs of, landlords, and all the landlords do is pass that expense on to, their renters.
Well, I hear a lot of people say that they pass expense onto the renters, but as a landlord myself, I would like to think that it would be that simple, but I don't think it's that simple.
It's probably not that simple, but you know what I'm talking about.
Well, yeah. I mean, the minimum that anybody's going to pay for a unit, and it's going to be dependent on where that unit is, the condition of the unit.
Sure.
So on and so forth. So if the city comes in and charges, $250 an hour for an inspection, and they keep coming back because they find violations, all those costs go up. They do. They add up for the landlord. However, you can't just simply pass those on to the tenant, because the tenant can only, first of all, if they are getting assistance from, let's say, Section 8, their amount is limited, and they can't help pay. They can probably up to a certain point, but there are some out there. I just dealt with one where the gal could only go up to $930, and if she paid anything more, and our unit was $1,130, if she paid the additional $200, she would lose her assistance money. So you have to be careful if you're dealing with a Section 8 or any subsidized housing payments at all. But you know, you can't necessarily pass those costs on. So when our taxes go up, our insurance goes up. I just got a text from a lender that's working on a deal for me where he had gotten notification from someone. I don't know who it is. I don't know who lenders get their information from. But the city of Jackson's rating for fire has gone down because of our, because we kept getting SAFER grants to fund our fire department, and we can't, it's now we're having a hard time hiring firemen because, or fire people, because of the fact that we use SAFER grants so many times. And they didn't, you know, they, who would want to go work for somebody who could possibly, and they could possibly, after 3 years, lose their job because the funding wasn't there.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So it's an, and so then because of that, our insurance rates can go up for all properties. It's, everything is related, just like our credit score is related. You know, the better your credit score, the lower your rates for insurance. So now the better your fire department, or the more likely that people want to come and work for your fire department, the higher the rating, the lower your insurance rates are going to be. So people should be conscious about that when they support certain avenues of funding or object to certain avenues of funding on a municipality basis. Where was I going with this? And the other thing, you know, if our costs go too high as landlords, they'll just get out of the business in that particular area, right? And there are certain areas that need, every community needs landlords. We need good landlords, but every community needs them because not everybody wants to own a house, or not everyone can afford to own a house. So we just can't, we've got to, the both the city and the landlords, it's important that they work together so that it's attractive for landlords to stay in the community, and the municipality can still work towards their goal of having a community that is safe, looks good, can attract people to it, all those things that we strive for, that we want to live in a particular neighborhood because we like how it looks.
Agree.
So let's see, what else is happening? Still have a shortage of housing, not property on the market. What I'm not seeing is, I do see prices going up, but I don't think that they're skyrocketing. I don't think that they're ballooning to the same level that they did in 2005, 4 and 5, when the bubble busted, and right before the bubble busted, and we hit the lowest time. And I also saw that the county had their tax foreclosure sales recently, so there's been a lot of property that's now in the hands of, hopefully, people who will pay their taxes. Let's see.
Are you worried, Laura, about this outbreak of COVID that we've had the past week, 10 days? Is that going to affect the industry?
You know, COVID has actually affected the industry by virtue of the fact that people aren't putting their houses on the market. Therefore, do we still have buyers that want to buy? I think you're going to see a different handling of it with the new administration, whether you agree with it or not. We probably need something different than how it's, because otherwise we wouldn't, how do we keep getting these outbreaks, right? Because those gatherings are getting big. And it'll be interesting to see everybody who were Trump supporters vowed that he was great for the economy. So now we'll see what happens now that the election has been determined, and see if we see a slowdown in our housing, see a change in our interest rates, although interest rates are predicted to stay low simply because inflation is high right now. I'm told that the cost of materials for building are leveling off, which is great news. So you should see an uptick in people doing renovations or construction projects. We are doing, we closed the gallery, the Orange Peacock Gallery, due to COVID and its restrictions and the fact that people just aren't doing what they used to do. I don't know if that will change, but we are doing a pop-up art show. We're bringing Artitude back this year, starting November 20th through December 24th at the Old Vermeulens Building, and we're hoping to have 30 to 40 vendors there. And it's this year, it's not going to just be artists. It's going to be people who have unique items to sell, quality, unique items to sell. So if anybody wants any information about that, they can contact my office also, 780-3800, and Jackie can get them the information that they need for that. But that would be fun. It would be interesting. It's a big space, so I think we can fall within the COVID guidelines of safety. And then there's going to be a few events during the period of time. Again, it's big enough that we can be safe.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have to come and do your Christmas shopping, Greg.
Sure.
Support the local artists.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, there you go. We've got people like John Blank. Jackie has a complete list, but I know Steampunk Eddie is going to be there. Steve Sales is going to be there. We were going to have some stuff that we've pulled out of the Gilbert's restaurant. Some of their light fixtures will be for sale, and along with, remember those salad bowls when you got a salad at Gilbert's? Yeah, they always came in those metal bowls. We've got some of those, and we've had them engraved on the bottom. So those would be good nostalgic gifts for someone who's from Jackson and remembers the old Gilbert Steakhouse.
Any houses you're pushing real quick?
Oh, let's see. No, I don't have any to push. I'm everything has sold or is about to sell, even my commercial property. So if you are interested in listing your property, whether it's residential or commercial, I hope you give me an opportunity to talk with you and let you know what I do to get a property sold. And if you're looking for a house, I'll do my darndest to find it, and I'll make those calls on places that are for houses that may not even be on the market. Like yesterday, I was calling some old contacts I had and got a couple of leads. So I'll work hard for you. So if you want to buy or sell, you should be thinking real estate. Call Laura Schlechte, 780-3800.